This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's a privilege to be here. Like Gerard said, we are from Shofar Prince Albert, and I've been there now for almost 9 years, but the church has been now for just over three years. And yeah, it's a privilege to be here this morning. But before we start, let me just pray. Father, we just come and consecrate this morning to you. And yeah, Father, we bring this word to you, Father. I ask, Father, that you would be the one speaking, Father. Father, I want to ask that you would open each heart, Father, each mind, Father. Father, I also want to ask that you would help us to allow you to come and move within us, Father, to come and work within each one of us, Father. And we just come and glorify your name. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, the message is to bear one another's burdens. And in Prince Albert, I'm trying to get the people back to bring the word, to bring the Bible to church. So normally I don't put the scriptures up, but the Bible reading will just be the verse, but from there on all the scriptures would be on the board, because I'm not sure how you work. it's to bear one another's burdens. And as we see in Galatians 6 from verse 1, it reads, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Okay, so this morning we're going to go through Galatians 6 from verse 1 to 10, but we're going to go through each verse on itself. But in that, I want to ask you to sit with a question: where do I fit in as we go through this? In Galatians 6 verse 1, it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." So it says, if anyone of us is in transgression, we need to help each other to restore them with a spirit of gentleness. But we are also to keep watch on ourselves and to be aware for the temptation that might come. We see in James 5, verse 16 to 20, verse 19 to 20, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So if we bring someone back from his or her wandering, this soul will be saved. And we need to pray also for people that wander from the truth. And we see in Romans 15 from verse 1, ye who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, but and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good and to build him up. And we need to bear with the failings of the weak. And for that we need patience. I mean, any one of us who have children, you can ask that question. We need patience. We need to show the example of Christ. In Galatians 6, verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. To fulfill the law of Christ is to bear one another's burdens, as we see in Galatians 6, verse 2. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, it says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. Now, according to the study Bible, the study Bible says to admonish the unruly. The meaning of admonish is to rebuke. So we need to rebuke the unruly, to help the weak, and also to be patient with them all. And I'm sure with this, we can. Every one of us can see where we still need to grow. Galatians 5, verse 14 says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the whole law is fulfilled in that one word, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In 1 John 4, verse 21, it says, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. If we love God, we must love our brothers. And in Galatians 6, verse 3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We mustn't think more of ourselves than we are to think. Life is not just about what we want or what we desire, but it's about our brothers and sisters, and first of all about Jesus, who died for us on the cross. Or otherwise, we might just be deceiving ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7, it says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. We see that God gives the growth. We can plant, we can water, but God gives the growth. And then Galatians 6, verse 4, let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. We see here it's talking about the test. Now, all of us know about tests from school, after school. We still have a lot of tests in our life. So there will be a test of the work that we have done. No matter what we do for a living, if we're a doctor or a pastor or working in an office, we will each have a test of what we did. In 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Jesus Christ is in us, but we still need to meet the standard of the test. And then in Galatians 6 verse 5, it says, for each will have to bear his own load. And in Romans 14 verse 12, it says, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. We are going to give an account of ourselves to God, of things we said, of things we did, of things we did not do that we were supposed to do, of things we did not say that we were supposed to say. Galatians 6, verse 6, it says, the one who is taught the word, share all good things with the one who teaches. Now, to those whom the word was taught, they shared what they had with those who taught the word to provide in their needs. And then in Romans 15, verse 27, it says, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessing, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessing. And this word says they were pleased to do that. And then Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his own flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So what we sow, we will reap. If we sow bad, we will reap bad. If we sow good, we will reap good. If we sow to our own flesh, we will reap corruption from our own flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap eternal life from the Spirit. How do we sow in the Spirit can be a question, and that is by fulfilling the law of Christ, by bearing one another's burdens. We see in Job 4 verse 8, it says, as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. So we need to be careful of what we sow, for what we sow we will reap. In Romans 6, verse 21, it says, but what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. What we sow at times might leave us ashamed when we reap the fruit. And then in Galatians 6, verse 9, and let us grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So do not grow weary. Keep on doing good, and don't give up. In Matthew 10, verse 22, it says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. So if we endure to the end, we will be saved. In Galatians 6, verse 10, it says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So let us continue to do good as we have opportunity. To everyone, and especially to those of the household of faith. We're going to watch a small video clip. Quick, yeah.
My name is Arabel. This is a true account of an experience that I had while shooting a video in Central Park. I was part of a group of strangers brought together to discuss civility and kindness.
We're all on
so
the same team.
I mean, people can be so cruel.
Not feel judged. They'll let me have
all
it.
Sorts of discrimination going on.
That's what you learn when you go to another place.
How should people
treat people the way you want to be treated?
We were split into pairs, and we all began discussing the various subjects.
I see everybody equal, whether they're young, old, black or white, whatever religion.
I do feel it's a gift, because I honestly believe everybody's born with the potential that they're a good person.
I've been talking with the other people in the group. I remember looking over and I seeing this homeless man. I remember thinking, I do hope this man doesn't take my bicycle. I actually was quite abusive to him. I wasn't very nice. I told him exactly what I thought about him. Just as we were wrapping up the last conversation, the director asked the person that I was speaking to step out and asked the homeless man to step in. I was shocked.
Still rolling.
I was mortified. I was completely mortified by what he'd just done.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, what brings you here today?
Well, the weather.
The weather?
Yes.
Like, if you hang around in the park, are people nice to you?
Yes, very, very nice.
So people say hello?
Yes, even get hugs. I even get a few hugs.
Really?
As a group, all morning, we've been discussing love thy neighbor, and yet I just turned on this guy and completely verbally abused him, and here I was now, face to face, having a discussion with him.
And how do you feel about civility?
I think it comes more from my heart, but a lot of people think it comes more out your pocket. it doesn't cost a penny to be, 1 cent to be polite. The world can be kind of cruel at times, and you know, you get confused and you don't know what to do, so you just start reacting.
So what keeps you good?
I think it's more ways to be good than bad. You know, we just don't exercise our the goodness that's instilled in us.
There I'd been earlier, saying all these lovely things, and I was a complete and utter hypocrite. From the moment I laid eyes on him, I judged Charles, I did. And he ended up being a completely different individual. He showed no ill will towards me, and he was talking to me as though we were best of friends. Ever since I spent that day with him, I said to myself, I am going to be a much kinder person. I hope people are inspired by the experience that I had in Central Park that day, that you will look at people just a little differently and understand that what one homeless man said in Central Park can honestly change your whole view on humanity. Thank you.
Are we busy with ourselves? Are we busy with our own things? Too busy to make time for other people? I'm going to give Jackie an opportunity to say something.
Hi, good morning. I'm Jackie, Rainier's wife, and I just want to quickly share a testimony with you. I'm firstly a person that's always been very afraid of standing in front of an audience. When I was in school, I refused to speak oral, so this is quite a fear for me to overcome. But I just want to share this testimony with you, and it's about my life and how Jesus saved me. In the last couple of months, the Lord did a really wonderful work in me, and some of my closest family were going through very distressing times. It's really, we're still going through that, and there was nothing that I can do to make this better, because many times we try to fix our family, especially those that are close to us, and we can't do that. And the only thing that I can do and still do today is I can pray for them, I cry with them, I cry out to God so that they will come into the kingdom and know that He loves them and He wants to save them. And in this time, the Lord reminded me that we as a church are called to heal the brokenhearted. But do we really understand what it is to be brokenhearted? Am I speaking too loud? Do we really understand that? When you are brokenhearted, you are completely broken. You don't always know how to do things. You don't know how to participate in life. And you try to escape by different ways and means. And we all know that, drinking, drugs, all sorts of addictions, going into all sorts of things, because we just want to escape life. And you don't always know how to fit in, and you don't always feel welcome. And the thing is, I got saved 20 years ago, and I come from exactly there. 20 years ago, I was a person that was binge drinking, taking drugs, because of what happened to me as a child. I lost my parents, my dad in a shooting accident, a hunting accident, at the age of 5. At the age of 10, my mum was killed in front of my eyes. And on that day, I turned my back on God. I turned away from Him, and I was very angry with God. Sorry. And then I went to live with my uncle and aunt, Gerard knows them, and they were such loving parents to me, and they brought me up in the Lord, but I wanted nothing to do with that. At the age of 14, I started drinking, started smoking dacha, taking drugs, and I went spiraling down right into the mud, not wanting to live anymore. And this one night, I was so high on drugs, and I was sensing all these spirits around me because I had a third eye open where I could see demons, and I was so afraid of them. And that night, the Lord Jesus came to save me. He appeared to me, and that day, it was 20 years ago, I turned to the Lord. But it took me years to participate in church life because I felt so unworthy, so ashamed. And I kept backsliding into sinful patterns. But then finally the Lord showed me His goodness. And that led me to repentance and His mercy. That led me to forgive my stepfather who killed my mother. And in this last couple of months, because that's not 20 years ago, now I'm walking with the Lord. And we get arrogant. We get spiritually pride sometimes, and we feel, what's going on with these people? Why? What's going on with them? And I had to repent of that because we get impatient and we don't understand why others struggle with things. And the thing is, we sometimes struggle because we need to forgive. We need to be set free from the things in our heart that's holding us back. And when we can't get to that place, sometimes we don't even know we need to forgive, because I had to forgive my stepdad, and that was what was holding me back in rebellion and escapism and all those things. And what really broke my heart then, I've asked someone in church with us, because she's always crying and she's not feeling well, and I couldn't understand what's going on with her, because, I mean, my heart wasn't in the right place. And you always expect the answer like, can you pray for me for a job or a husband? Because she doesn't have a job or a husband. And this was her answer. See, she said, sorry, can you just pray for me for hope? Because everything around me looks black. And I feel so purposeless. And I feel like a piece of plastic floating in the ocean. And right there, the Lord did such a deep work inside of me. Because we don't always know what is happening in other people's lives. We always come, like Gerard said, yes, the joy of the Lord is my strength, but that joy should be to take someone else by the hand and walk with them. To slow down and not to run and hallelujah in the front, but see the other people, see their struggles, see their hurt. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to just extend grace to others and hope and peace. Because I was that person. I used to stand in the back like, no one sees me, no one cares about me, and then I'll leave again. Back into drinking and everything, then I'll come back again. And that just that one day, I said, this is going to be the day. And I just said, sorry, is there maybe a group I can go to? And someone discipled me, and that changed my whole life. Just to see those people, we shouldn't just go on, like Renier said, living for ourselves, but we must bear one another's burden. Thank you. Thank you for that I could share that.
Thank you. Now, in Prince Albert, we don't have a band. We worship on YouTube videos. So if there's a band that wants to come to Prince Albert, you're most welcome. But so I'm not sure if the band must come up for the altar call, but if they must, they can come. Yeah, but this morning, someone gave an opportunity for those who haven't met our Lord Jesus Christ yet to come forward. That's the first one. And the second one, someone gave an opportunity for people to come forward that we can pray for them, that feels like this lady said, that feels like a bag floating in the ocean, no purpose in life. So we want to give an opportunity for people to come forward so that we can pray for them.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.